You're listening to Rock of Ages, where I introduce my friends who are much into music theater to different types of pop and rock music. And sometimes they'll introduce me to some theater music.
And welcome to a special episode of Rock of Ages. We are covering my favorite album, Samstown by The Killers. Samstown is the second studio album by American rock band The Killers. It was released on September 27th, 2006 by Island Records. The producers were Flood, Alan Motor, and The Killers, of course. Genres are alternative rock, indie rock, post-punk revival, new wave, and heartland rock. With us today, we have Andrew.
Hello.
Cade.
Hello. I'm very upset about this, and I will not be on this episode, but you will not sack me. I'll be back. I'll be back.
Kay.
Hey, hey, hey.
Riley.
Hello.
And Romy.
Hello. Welcome to the town. The town by Sam. The town's chosen specifically by Sam. Sam's Town.
Only the best Sams in Sam's Town.
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Raimi.
Yeah, we mentioned Sam Raimi a few weeks back. Sam Elliott.
So what did you guys think of the album?
It was alright. It was pretty good.
Honestly, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Kind of slapped.
I honestly thought I wouldn't like it as much when I listened to it, mainly because of my bias towards modernity. It's not a real bias towards modernity. It's just I've listened to much more older stuff, and it was a pleasant surprise to listen to this new album and find something cool out of it.
I like it almost as much as the previous one, the one with Mr. Brightside and all these things I've done.
And those two songs very much slap.
Yeah. When You Were Young brings back some really good memories of my childhood.
It's funny. I may have listened to some of their songs in passing times, but I think last year it was the first time I ever listened to The Killers. Like, I was listening to, like, Mr. Brightside and all these things that I've done, and neither of those two sound familiar to me. So I think last year was the first year I ever listened to a Killers song. And this was the first year I listened to a Killers album, and they're pretty good.
I mean, I know The Killers because my mom had, like, a Killers phase 2 years ago where she, because The Killers were, like, a thing when I was a baby and when my siblings were babies. So my mom, like, she told us that she never really had time to listen to modern music at the time. So she's just, like, rediscovering all the, like, bands from that time period and just, like, getting really into them. And The Killers is definitely one of those.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're honestly one of the better acts in the 21st century. And
I would say at least, so. They're quite good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was listening to their song Caution last year, which was released as a single, and Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac is on guitar. Not that you know who either of those two are, but it was still pretty cool.
It'd be cool if we got to Fleetwood Mac on the podcast.
Yeah, we have rumors coming up.
Rumors, yes. Yeah. The best Fleetwood Mac album, and the only one I've listened to.
So far, Sam's Town is the best Killers album, and the only Killers album I've listened to, too.
I'm completely biased here, since, like, front to back, I love every song on here. Like,
yeah,
I love it. It's so good.
My personal favorite is the title track, which I likened to, like, the E Street Band, headed by Gary Numan, with lead vocals by Rick Ocasek. Not that you know what any of that is.
Not a clue.
My rock analogies are lost upon you.
Completely. Yeah. You need to use theater analogies instead.
Yeah. I actually know them. And
Gary Newman had a hit single in the late 70s called Cars. And
That was in the Muppets 2011. And it slaps.
Yeah.
You'll know it when you hear it.
Definitely. I'll link it when we're done with this.
And Gary Newman, isn't that I might be wrong, but is that the guy who did the Pixar music?
No, that's Randy Newman.
To Randy Newman.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
We're not getting to Randy.
Little boys.
We're not getting.
assassinating parents.
We're not getting to Randy Newman on this podcast because
my
film teacher absolutely hates his voice.
Then we should spite your film teacher.
I don't want to be on his bad side. I don't want to be on his bad side. I mean, I'm already slightly on his bad side by including Jimmy Buffett on this podcast.
Imagine sounding like Randy Newman unironically.
I'm
going to link you guys. Randy Newman singing about what he sees on Family Guy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Randy Newman also happens to be one of the two people who Doug Walker hates to a T. The other one being everyone's favorite divorced dad, Phil Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Except for Jackson.
Yeah. Not my favorite.
I have a fondness for both of these artists.
I like Randy Newman's songs when he's not the one singing them.
Harry Nilsson singing Vine Street, like that.
We might get to some Nilsson. It depends on how niche he is.
Oh yeah, and we have a bunch of and have a bunch of Russian Doll jokes too.
Yeah.
Pull out. If you guys haven't seen Russian Doll, he has a song called Gotta Get Up. It's the song that kicks off each Groundhog Day loop in Russian Doll.
We're getting off track. Yeah. Let's continue talking about this album.
One thing I do want to bring up is Samstown is an actual place. It's a casino about like 5 miles outside of the Vegas Strip.
Yes, because the Killers are all about that Vegas lifestyle.
Yeah, I think like three members of the band lived in Vegas. Grew up there.
Yeah, it was Flowers, one of them. All I can remember is his last name, yeah. Flowers.
Flowers.
Yes, not Harold Flowers.
Wayland Flowers. Not that you know who that is. He was a ventriloquist.
Yeah, so I like how the album opens, kind of, with interlude and ends with exitlude. It's like...
Okay, can I just say something?
Yeah.
The exitlude reminds me of Goodbye from Billie Eilish's album, Where When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Because that's pretty much, like, same thing.
Holy crap. Billie Eilish, but good.
William Eilish.
Don't be mean to Billie Eilish.
She's good.
Never mind. Billie Eilish is actually problematic now. We can be mean to her. Never mind.
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah, she is. Yeah. She queer baited and stuff.
She what?
Queer baited. And also her boyfriend's like racist or something.
I can't. Well, I can't.
And dear listeners, if this is how you're finding out about the Billie Eilish drama, cool. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry for ruining your childhood dreams.
Ruining my eighth grade self.
Yep.
William Eilish.
So
what some people call her.
So there are some things I really do like about this album. So like I already talked about Enter and Exitlude. The title track is awesome. When You Were Young was obviously something that it's a great single song, yeah. Read My Mind, I said, is absolutely hypnotizing.
Good. Yeah. You guys can, like, hate the rest of the album, but as long as you like Read My Mind, I'll be happy.
I do.
I love Read My Mind.
I like Read My Mind. I like it.
That was one of the songs my mom liked, and she learned it on piano, and it was pretty dope.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, the synthesizers on this album are probably the best in modern music. They throw back to both 70s and the 80s, but give it their new own twist. I think I should really check out some of the Killers' other stuff, because they're something I did not expect.
Yeah, so it's like, I would suggest going to Hot Fuzz, their first album, because it's really good. Yeah. A lot of people claim it to be the first or the best debut album from like any band.
Yeah, it has Sister Might Bride on it.
Yeah. There's also, I've been getting into Day and Age, the album after this, and it's kind of more poppy, but it's still really good.
Mm. Oh, I mean, everything went poppy.
That's the one with Human on it?
Yeah, that's the one with Human on it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I remember, like, this show I was in. I wasn't in that specific one they did Human in, but they did it, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
And they did it as part of, like, this concept set. It included Ramalama Bang Bang and Across the Universe version of Because and From Now On from The Great Showman.
When you said From Now On, I thought you were going to say From Now On from Supertramp. That is a good song.
Oh, yeah. I could see the band in that show doing a Supertramp song.
The band as in the band in your show thing, or the band as in the band?
From my show thing. A lot of the members of the band are dead.
RIP band?
They all looked like a bunch of homophobes. I mean, I don't know them, but they look like them. Alright, so moving on. A lot of songs I do like on here. The middle, I'm gonna be honest, it kinda clunks for me a bit. Like, Uncle Johnny, Bones, and My List. I found Uncle Johnny just, I had no opinions on that. Bones had a nice backing instruments, but I said there was nothing hiding behind the pomp. And My List, I just felt nothing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, for some reason, My List sounds melodically similar to Beautiful Ride from Walk Hard.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'll link you the song so you can...
I was saying, it was like basically My List is... It's like surprisingly, even though... Like, I can remember My List, but Bling? Like, I have listened to that song a bunch of times. I've listened to the live version, like, from the Royal Albert Hall concert, a bunch of times. I cannot remember that song for the life of me.
Bling, yeah, I remember liking it when I hear it, but when you mention it, yeah, I can't hear it. I can't remember it either. It's funny, because the songs I think are the least best on an album are the shortest. Like, I could have said Interlude was the worst song, but... It's only like the ninth worst song or the tenth worst song. I do like it. Like, the stuff I don't like on this album, I can still tolerate.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, a fair criticism.
Yeah. So, and another song on here. Oh, let's go to the next song. This River Is Wild. It's a very exciting song. Like, it's said that the Killers are like the new generation version of Bruce Springsteen, and the This River Is Wild is probably the song that proves just that. It's very, really wild, really pumping, really. It wouldn't sound out of place if it was on Born to Run.
Yeah, it's almost as apt as Worst Come to Worst. And it's also funny you should mention Springsteen, because you linked us a collaboration by the Killers and Springsteen.
Oh, let me talk about
uploaded today.
Oh yeah, let me talk about that. The Killers released a version of their song "Dust," Dustland.
A Dustland fairy tale.
Yeah. I should also mention that Kay is gone.
Rip.
Anyway, it was a version of their old song, and it was pretty good. I think Flowers and Springsteen's voices complement each other really nice.
I love how it started all slow, then just got more upbeat.
Yeah, I was afraid I was afraid it would be I was afraid it was going to be that slow for the entirety of the song, but it didn't.
I appreciate songs that do that.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about Dustland Fairy Tale, I don't know if we're ever going to get to day and age on this podcast. I want to talk about it.
We might. Now that you bring it up.
Okay. Then whenever we get to it, I'll save the story about the story behind Dustland Fairy Tale and the whole meaning of it.
Mm. Yeah, I think it was based on like Brandon Flowers' own dad or something.
His parents.
Yeah. I also like how the single was released today on the day we're recording the podcast. So it's like, today is Killer's Day.
Yeah.
I hereby dub today Killer's Day.
Yeah.
Every June 16th from now on.
Yep.
It's Killer's Day.
Yep.
Yeah, I should also mention that Jackson picked this album. It was his birthday.
Yeah. Next year for Killer's Day, we should all fly out to Las Vegas. And try and break into Harold.
Do it.
Try and break into. Try and break into Brandon Flowers' house.
Yeah. Let's play 8 different. Let's all play 10 different slot machines at once. I'm not the biggest Vegas connoisseur. I very much prefer Los Angeles and Orlando.
Even after Hotel California.
Yeah.
After Billy Joel's career almost died there.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, why do I keep coming? Wait, no, keep not counting. Why did I write it as why do I keep coming?
He just keeps showing up to the same store confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing here?
When I first...
What are we doing here?
When I was looking at that title, the title that I wrote, I thought Why Do I Keep Coming was going to be a song like, why do I keep coming to this two-bit town? I've had enough. I'm leaving. So what is the song actually about?
The title, Why Do I Keep Counting, it's about the count from Sesame Street.
He's having a midlife crisis.
That's a lie. Jackson, can you explain about...
So the way it starts off, there's a plane and I am flying. Basically, he got, like, back in 2005 or 2006 before the album was released.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Flowers had gotten, like, a palm reading or something that basically said that he will die in a plane accident. And this song is him venting about it.
Oh, yeah.
Will I live and have some children? You know, all
that. Isn't he like, oh, yeah, I think he's, like, Mormon, and apparently Mormons know when they're going to die or something.
Yeah, like, he's just really worried about his future at that point in time.
Hmm.
So that's why that's why it was written like that.
Hmm, that's very interesting. And it's a good song, too. Although, sometimes I think Brandon's voice can get a bit too hammy, like, what do I keep counting? It doesn't really fit with the song.
That's just Brandon Flower, though. He's kind of hammy sometimes.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it works.
Yeah, he's very, like... Rick Ocasek, David Byrne, he's like emulating those new wave stars, and I really much respect him. He's a new wave singer with a synth pop band playing Heartland Rock.
Yeah,
I just
the story behind the song reminded me of this guy named Charles Collin, who got like a fortune teller who managed to predict. Like, that's his him. Entire death, and, like, I'll link you this whole thing. They said, fortune teller said he would die in an American southern city, he was an actor, at the height of his career, the death would be swift, and he wouldn't get any rest until, he would return to his hometown, and, like, then a storm happened, and his coffin washed away to his hometown in Nova Scotia. That is just really freaky.
Huh.
That's That's wild.
Yeah.
That is a story.
Yeah, that's a real wild river. I just realized that it had a, that story had a connotation to the killer's title.
Yeah. So,
the major inspiration for the band is Joy Division.
Oh yeah, like, I've heard of those. I've heard of those guys. Yeah, they cover. They're great T-shirt makers.
Yes, they cover Saddle Play. I think like almost every time they go live for a concert, like it's like a staple in their live set. Hmm. They even got, that's how they got their name too, was from the music video for Crystal, one of Joy Division songs. It's on like a drum head, and it just says the Killers on it.
We should get the Joy Division on the podcast.
Yeah, I was also thinking that when
for New Order.
Yeah, I was also thinking that when Cade Month finally ends, we can cover some Springsteen.
Ooh, I'd be all for that. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just one of those great singers. Like, he can get all, sometimes he can go get all raspy and emotionless like Dylan, but he still has the heart and the soul to yelp like Elvis. His voice isn't a quiet taste.
That's giving Bob Dylan too much credit.
Yeah. I can't wait for all the Dylan slander you're going to give us when we get there.
Like, Dylan's a lot like Leonard Cohen. Amazing songwriter, not a very good singer.
Yeah.
Randy Newman.
Yeah.
I know Jackson's thinking this in his head. Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Even he gets it.
Yeah. Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
I listened to a couple of his Great American Songbook cover albums.
I am never thinking about covering Rod Stewart on this podcast.
Yeah.
Oof.
But, however, this episode and this album has convinced me to do some killer albums.
Nice.
Yep.
Cool.
Love to see it.
Yep. You love to see it. Sam's Town has sold almost 5 million copies worldwide, which is pretty nice, although it pales in comparison to their debut album, which has sold 7 million, so...
I think when it comes to this, I might be wrong, but I think the way it was the studio, they wanted another Hot Fuzz. They wanted more kind of synth pop, Brit rock type things. Yeah.
But it was nice of them to add some of that heartland rock / new wave sound.
Yeah, exactly. I think the band at the time wanted to do something different to what they did, and then that's kind of how like this ended up working.
Yeah, you know, I also think that I've only listened to like two songs on Hot Fuzz, but I'd say that the songwriting has much improved on Sam's Town. Because all these things that I've done, good song, but the bridge is literally only just one line repeated ad nauseum.
Yeah, I could see why you would think that, but I think it works.
I listened to all of my modern songs on this 10-year-old radio. It sounds like crap, and so if I were to listen to it on glorious HD headphones, maybe I would get what's going on.
Yeah, my record player sounds like crap, the one I have in my room.
Is it a Victrola?
I got it about...
Or a Crosley?
No, it's an Electro-Home. We got it about 10 years ago in a Sears Wish Book.
I have an Audio Technica. I got it about a year and a half ago. It plays great. But I'm not gonna flex on my record... player in my record collection today. This is Jackson's episode.
So, speaking of it, I wanted to get Sam's Town on vinyl, they don't sell it on the Killer Shop. The only way you can get Sam's Town on vinyl is if you buy the entire discography of the Killers on vinyl, from Hot Fuzz up to Wonderful Wonderful. Like, that's the only way you can get that, and that's like a...
Well, that's a society.
Yeah.
We live in a society.
Maybe it'll show up on eBay. On a similar note, I got the Shrek soundtrack on vinyl for Record Store Day, and I also got
the best album,
Red Hot Blue.
The best album.
I also got, like, Red Hot and Blue, which is, like, a Cole Porter cover album, which was a benefit for AIDS research. It's got a stacked list of artists, like, Erasure, Nina Cherry, Sinead O'Connor. A lot of people...
It says here that the Sam's Town was reissued as a remastered double vinyl by Bong Load Records, celebrating the album's 10th anniversary, but the reissue is limited to only 5,016 copies.
Ooh, God, I can only imagine how much that must be.
Imagine being one of the 5,016 peoples that own this.
Imagine being with 100 people who own the A24 movie Climax on VHS. That's my white whale. I want to make a mock-up of the VHS box art so I can know what it's like to actually be happy.
Oh, ouch.
Ouch.
So, can we talk about the album cover? Because it looks like there's a beauty pageant person. She looks like she won, but she doesn't look happy that she won. Is she the Sam that I've heard so much about? And there's also a bighorn sheep next to her. Is that sheep named Sam?
The left one's Sam, the right one is Town.
Yeah. So the sheep owns Sam. Miss Town. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. All right. Well, I think let's go around. Jackson, what would you give this?
A 10. An 11, actually.
Kay, who isn't here, well, she was here, but now she's not, she gave this a 7.8.
I give it an 8.
I give it an 8.5.
Nice. So, like I said, I did not expect to like this album that much, because, again, it's just a bias towards modern stuff, but yeah, it's really pretty good. It has some things wrong with it, especially towards the middle, but what I do like about it, it does make me want to go back for more. It does make me want to rediscover some more things. And so I give it an 8.2. Yeah, and a nice, it's pretty good for something so modern. And it looks like Cade is back. He's going to have to tell us what the next album is. Take it away, Cade.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Jackson, I can assume that you found pleasure in picking this album for your birthday wish of hosting this podcast. And you know that I'm not going to hold that against you. But there's one major issue with this album.
What is it?
As the one true Ringo prophet among us all, I think it's quite obvious. Ringo does not approve of the album. Why else was I not on this episode?
Oh my god.
He does make a point. Ringo doesn't even appear on the album, so of course he wouldn't approve.
Admit it, we're getting a Ringo album?
So, this album gets 0 out of 5 Ringos. As you can recall. So, next episode, your album will be quite simply, it'll be a punishment, obviously, for sacrilege against Ringo. Yes. However, it will be a pleasurable punishment, because you will be listening to one of the greatest albums of all time. You will all be listening to not only just one of my favorite albums.
Oh, yes.
But my favorite album.
Here we go.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
All right.
Whoa!
No. Wait. You thought I was meaning the Beatles one?
Wait.
Oh, girl, no. We're gonna do the soundtrack.
We're gonna do the Peter Frampton Bee Gees one?
Yes!
No!
Oh my god.
No. Oh boy.
Next episode is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the Beatles version, and then we all listen to the Bee Gees version! Hooray!
I'm ready for July.
Alright, thank you.